So this is where the real magic happens, the hidden lab behind the house of your mind. Welcome to chapter 9 of Mike Wood's podcast to book series. Every chapter so far has been about awareness, healing, and love. But this one is exciting because it's about power. Mike calls it the basement lab, the place where transformation gets a little bit scientific. So in this episode, we're going to break down how the subconscious really works. No mysticism, no real fluff, just neuroscience, emotion, and compassion in action. We'll explore why your mind still reacts like an 8-year-old under pressure, how to travel back in time and rewire old programming, and why forgiveness is a final key to permanent change. Because once you can rewrite these beliefs, you can literally rewrite your entire story. So, without further ado, let's get into the lab. How's it going, Mike?
It's great. Great to be with you. This is going to be a fun episode for me.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I'm pumped. You call this chapter the basement lab where the real magic happens. What does that mean? And why is this work so central to your life? And why are you so excited about talking about it?
Is where the healing is done. This is where people get to free themselves from the anxiety and depression that haunts them. People are running around trying to get help from anxiety and depression, and most people they're just healing, or they're getting help for the symptoms. They're not getting cured. And that's what this does. This will physically heal you from your pain, and it's beautiful when it happens.
So what's co one core belief you uncovered that completely shocked you once you saw it clearly?
I had help going back this far, but day one, I got to see day one, and that was completely shocking for me. I had trauma from day one because I didn't get held, and I didn't nobody was talking to me. I didn't know how I was going to eat, and I didn't really connect with my mom or anyone at the time. And it was very traumatic. I've been telling everybody since that day. I realized all that to make sure you speak to your child when it's born, and you put your child skin to skin on you, because that's the only two ways that you can soothe them and make them feel loved. But yeah, that was extremely powerful for me, to go back and rewrite all that, because I had anxiety and unworthiness and feeling unlovable that stemmed all the way back to the day I was born. It was kind of crazy to think about, a grown man, why would that bother me? But it's a program that was written when I was born, and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, ironically, I had a past life trip and I visited some Akashic records, and my ancestors told me that I didn't have a chance. And they told me that it was not my fault and I didn't have a chance. And then they showed me everything from past lives, from being born, that I didn't have control over, just like in relation to what you said. And I literally didn't have a chance. And so to understand that and then to dig into this work, I feel like can be extreme. Like, that's life changing. Like, right there, it's like, well, that's life changing, right?
Completely. It frees you, because we all have the anxiety that builds on a daily basis, that causes us mental anguish and pain. We have all these myths about what it is and what we can do to make it go away. I smoked weed through my 20s trying to chase it away, and it somewhat made me feel a little bit better, but at some point that didn't work anymore. Then I switched to alcohol, and that helped me in social settings, but it didn't help me in it. It's basically poison. Alcohol is. Use that as a tool, it's going to end up in a bad place. And so, at the end of the day, most people are trying to fix themselves, but they're only fixing the symptoms. They're not going to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is some subconscious core beliefs that were created by the younger you, that had no business writing core beliefs for you. You shouldn't be living off core beliefs that were created when you were one or two or five or seven or eight. Like those core beliefs, you weren't capable of making intelligent decisions on how you should live the rest of your life in an emotional situation that you didn't understand. And so the beautiful thing is we get to go back and rewrite them. Like we have the power to go back and rewrite them, and it's such a powerful thing once you do it. And it's relatively simple. It does require courage, but the process is pretty simple.
I literally would just did a live about this today about how people are making decisions today based on stuff that happened in the past, and the way people speak are like, the best years are over, and people reminisce on like things that happened to them, and they romanticize about past, and they worry about future, and they're like, just like I said, just making decisions today based on their subconscious mind from 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it just like blows my mind. So why does the subconscious hang on to beliefs that are clearly not good for us?
It's trying to protect us. To be honest, that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to protect us, but unfortunately, it's trying to protect us from things we don't need protection from. There was a story about a lady who was 97 years old and went through another form of this, not my program. And I read the article, and it was really amazing and sad. But she was finally living an amazing life at 97 years old, free of all the noise in her head. And the only regret she had is that she didn't learn how to do this years ago. The programs are not going to rewrite themselves. They're literally, it's a computer program. You have to go into the computer and write the program. You can't do it from outside of the computer. And that's what most people are trying to do is we're trying to fix the computer from the outside by throwing something at it. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so you compare it to a loyal but panicky guard dog. So how does that metaphor help people understand their reactions?
It's going to protect you forever, but it's freaking out all the time. It's barking all the time when when the mailman's going by. Yeah, it's barking when the neighbor gets in their car and goes to work in the morning. It's barking for no reason all the time. It's really annoying when you can't make that guard dog shut up. You know the dog loves you, but please be quiet. I'd really like it if you wouldn't bark at everything that moves, because most of the time we're stressed out about things that never come to fruition. So we're literally spending our lives worrying about things that never happen. And it's coming from a place of love, self-love for ourselves, but it's just a program that is not serving us because it was written by a younger self who wasn't qualified to write the program.
Yeah. It's like a 2-year-old writing a computer program, and we're expecting it to run well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
It's so unfortunate, but the greatest thing about it is, it's stuck in time, right? Whatever happened when you were 1 year old is still happening today, right now. And that's why those things are still popping up, and it's still causing the noise in your head to be loud. The gift about it is it's still the present moment. Right now is still the present moment, and the subconscious mind has no concept of time. So we can go back to that moment with our imagination and relive that whole situation, reframe it, and rewrite it in a way that it doesn't need to hold on to it anymore. We need to get to reframe it with love, compassion, and forgiveness. And all of a sudden, it's gone. And we get to implant it, replace it with something new, something more powerful, something we get to create now with our intelligence that we're walking around with now.
Yeah, I was speaking to someone who specializes in past life work, and ironically, she said that the most important life to focus on is the one right now. And so if we can, go back in time and detach in a sense from all of those things that you're speaking of, I know you're going to tell us how to rewrite these beliefs eventually on this episode, but the no concept of time, it's like We can do things now, or we can do things later, or we've done them before. The subconscious doesn't know. It just knows that it wants us to be safe and it doesn't want us to take any risks. And then we listen to it because it's scary, right? So when we reprogram our concept of time, how does that insight change how we approach healing?
That's a very big thing. Like one of the books that I highly recommend whenever somebody asks me is The Power of Now, because reframing how we look at time is an amazing thing. We have to use it for logistical reasons, like, hey, I got to go to work, or hey, it's so and so's birthday, it's our anniversary, I got to get this done before this thing happens. So we have to use time for logistical reasons, but our entire life is always lived in the present moment. We don't ever live anything in the future. We can never go back and do anything to change whatever happened in the past. So if we put ourselves mentally and we start to live and think that way, bringing our attention into the present moment, the entire system starts to calm down. Those old programs start to lose their power. In the present moment, when you're present, those programs, they lose all of their power, but they're going to try you to pull you into the future so you're not stressed about what happened in the past, so that thing doesn't happen again. And that's where it's trying to protect you by pushing you into the future to make sure that what happened in the past doesn't happen again. So stay safe. Don't go out of your house. Don't go do that podcast that you're going to be scared about. Don't go write a book. Don't go do that thing that you've wanted to do your whole life, because you might feel the same way you felt when you were six and you didn't feel smart enough. It's trying to keep you safe, but it's also limiting you. That's why whenever we try to do something to better ourselves, it feels scary, because the subconscious mind is trying to protect you. You're going into uncharted territory and it doesn't like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to ask you about this one because on when we weren't recording, you and I were having a little bit of a personal conversation and you helped me understand my attachment to my ex. And so what is this? This is about forming beliefs forming through elevated emotional emotions, sorry, elevated emotions plus meaning. So can you explain that a little bit more and share what you mean by that? You asked me about if I had a lot of high emotional experiences with my ex, and I was like, yeah, of course I did. I thought I was going to marry the guy. And you're like, well, of course you feel that way because you had all these elevated emotional experiences. So can you talk about that a little bit more so the audience can understand?
So you were expressing to me that your ex was really bad and you were having a hard time moving past him. Is that correct? If I'm remembering right, for bringing everybody up to speed.
He was
And
really bad for me. Like he's just not good for me yet. I know that, but I'm like still, why do I still care?
the reason why you care, I knew that if he was that bad for you, that it has to be a program. There's no reason why you still care if you didn't write a program. So I simply asked you a simple question. In the beginning, what was it like, and what did you think it was going to be, and what was your answer?
It was amazing. And I was gonna, I thought I was gonna marry the guy. Yeah, we were just, it was just like bliss. We were in our own little world.
So that's how the subconscious mind works. You got yourself into an elevated emotional state. Now, when we talk about this, a lot of our negative core beliefs are created when we get into a negative core belief. Yours was created in an elevated emotional state where you were happy. And so you created that emotional state and set an expectation that he was going to be your future husband, and that's where your happiness was going to come from. And that set a program and said, hey, we have to go protect this now. We have to make sure that all of this stuff happens. And then when it all goes bad, the program is still there saying, hey, you need to make all this work to make this happen. And so now your system's fighting itself, because the logical you, the conscious you, says, this dude is bad and I got to get away from him. But at the same time, the program's saying just the opposite. So, as soon as you're able to go back in and rewrite that program, go back to that moment when you were excited, when you were feeling all these lovey-dovey feelings for this guy and he was going to be your next thing. Go, all right, go back, close your eyes, go back to that moment and say, hey, when, I'm sitting here with you. I'm this old now, and this is how old you were during when this happened. And I've seen the light. This I was wrong. I got a little excited here, and you know, this is not our future. This is not where he was, but everything is okay. I wish him well. We are healthy and thank, but this is not the future. So if you go back to that moment in your imagination and reframe it all, you could reprogram that moment. Forgive him for anything that he's done wrong to you. Forgive yourself for getting so excited and making that declaration and making that program. And then all of a sudden you've forgiven him, you, and now all of a sudden that program is now gone, and you can move on freely without that attachment to him being the savior of your future and your future man that you're supposed to be married. And it'll allow you to release any lingering feelings for him.
Can you maybe share an example from your own life, just to give more context about where
Yeah.
the kind of the combination locks something in? Because I bet you it happens to everybody every single day.
It does. Yeah. So I have several. I know I've talked about, you know, my dyslexia when I was a young kid, you know, and it's so powerful because my son's going through the same thing right now, and he's winning, which is amazing. I'm so proud of
No.
him. Yeah, it's amazing. But I couldn't read when I was a young kid. I learned how to read when I was 25 years old. And the first time I realized that I couldn't read like all the other kids was in kindergarten when they were trying to get me to spell my name. So my name is Michael. My mama is the only one that ever calls me Michael. But at the time, I never heard the name Mike. I didn't even know what it was. But I realized my teacher was getting frustrated trying to teach me how to spell Michael because I couldn't do it. In that moment, she said, I need you to try to do Mike. I realized that she was getting frustrated. I realized that all the other kids were able to spell their name. And in that moment, I got embarrassed, sad, scared, and I felt dumb. So I got into an elevated emotional state and got the clear intention is what gets programmed in that moment. And I had to live with that until I was 48 years old because I didn't know how to undo it. Unfortunately, I probably had 40 or 50 of those on that same topic because it was such a reoccurring thing in my childhood. And I may still have some lingering ones in there, but I think for the most part, they've all been uncovered. But that's how the subconscious mind is programmed. You get into an elevated emotional state, and it doesn't matter what type of emotion it is. It could be anger, it could be joy, as long as the system is getting elevated. Now all of a sudden, subconscious mind can be programmed. When you're in a calm state, you're not going to touch anything. You're not going to move anything. You're not going to reprogram anything. Nothing's going to get programmed. But the second that thing opens up, you're susceptible to be programmed in any kind of a way.
Yeah, I remember one time I like hurt myself at it was like a massage therapist's office. And the massage therapist was amazing, absolutely phenomenal. But for some reason, because I hurt myself in the office, I every time I would go back there, I'd feel anxiety about it. And I was like, why is this happening? And it was like my subconscious mind trying to protect me. It's like, you can't go back there. Remember, your body got hurt. And so it's not only emotional, it's like physical too. So that was bizarre because I'm like, I love my massage therapist. Why do I feel this way? But it was because I got hurt physically in that office space. And so I mean, why does the body hold on to the score like that? Why does it keep the score? And why do these emotions, even from decades ago, still feel like they're happening now?
Well, the reason they're happening now is because literally the subconscious has no concept of time. It's always now. It's
Right.
always still happening. So that is just a reel, and they're all piling on top of each other. It's just which one is the loudest right now is what we're dealing with.
Oh my God, now I'm picturing like 10 loud dogs like barking.
Oh my gosh. You know, the process of going through this, when people start, the first two, three, or four are really challenging. And which is why I put this at the end of the program so you can have all these other tools to get ready for it. Because when you uncover one, two, three, all of them start to get really loud because they don't like it. The parts of you that is doing this doesn't like it, and they start to get even louder. You'll start to remember things that happened to you that you forgot about, some things that are really bad that are far worse than anything that you can remember. You'll start to remember after you've rewritten three or four or five subconscious core beliefs. And when you get to that point, there's usually it starts to they all start to calm down, and then they just when you're ready to do one, you'll just have one on hand because they'll just pop up and your life will start to just bring them to you. As you won't even know what you're going to go work on if you had it scheduled, and then you show up and all of a sudden on your way there something happened, triggered your mind, and now all of a sudden you got random thoughts that lead you from A to Z, and all of a sudden you're remembering something that you never would have thought about has been affecting your life, and all of a sudden it unfolds. Kind of like, I had one when I was at, day one, which was crazy. But I've also been back to one of the most impactful ones that I ever had was when I was 1.5 years old, and my mom was screaming at my dad, "Why don't you love me anymore? Why don't you stay?" And my dad was leaving my mom right after she was having the next baby, and she was like 9 months old. And so it was right after my younger brother got born, he left, and they were having an argument about it. I adopted that as a core belief. When you get in a fight with somebody that you care about, the dad leaves. And so that didn't even manifest in my life until I was married with my current wife. We had been together for 5 years. An alcohol-induced argument that wasn't even between us. We get into an elevated argument, and first thing I'm saying, once I got triggered, was I'm leaving. Wake up the next day, and I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't even know why I said that. And it caused a lot of pain between me and my wife because she went from being with somebody we never fought, we never got in any arguments, and then in one argument, boom, I'm saying I want to leave. And it scared the hell out of her. And I had to do serious soul searching to figure out why I would even say something like that. But I go back and do a lot of hard work and face it. It turns out I get shown this whole image from when I was 1.5 years old and created a core belief when I was 18 months old. It was just have no idea where they're coming from. And they can just cause so much pain and disruption in our lives. And we just don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's also interesting to note that like we have to own our stuff. So you owned your stuff. Like your wife was like, okay, that hurts me, but this isn't about me, this is about you. And so, I mean, the things that we do and react, the reactions we have towards other people, they're always about us. So I think it's important for the audience to know that like if someone's lashing out at them, it's not about them, it's about that person. Mostly, and if they have the guts to start doing this work, I'm picturing is like you're saying, like once you start, it's like a can of worms, and that's what I'm picturing is one of those jars that, those trick things, and you open it, all of a sudden it's like all these things pop out, and you start dealing with them. And I know it's like the work is so worth it, but it's challenging, right? Like it's not easy. And once you start, it's like you can't put that top back on.
No, what I will say is sometimes somewhere between 5 and 20, you're not the same person anymore. The noise in your head will just it'll start to calm down. All of a sudden you'd be sitting on a bench where you would have anxiety about what you're doing and whatever, it had to be on your phone, and all of a sudden you can sit there and just enjoy staring at the trees. Like there's just all of a sudden life starts to have a different perspective. That anxiety is not just with you all the time. It all of a sudden it goes. And then what'll happen is along that journey, you'll start to have some funky emotions show up, and you're like, aha, I see you. It's time I'm gonna track you down to your source. And we're going to heal from you too. So you almost get excited when you feel bad because it's enough. You know, when you're feeling that way, it's coming from something. And you get to track it down to that source and get another one gone and another one gone. And with every single one that gets gone, you just get healthier and healthier and healthier, and it's a pretty amazing journey, but it's scary. A lot of people, you know, it's when they do it, it's scary. It truly is scary, and it doesn't have to be. It's a simple process of reliving it, but part of the process of reliving it is bringing back that emotion. Because if you don't relive the emotion, you can't open up the subconscious mind to reprogram it again. Part of the process is, okay, I got to live this again for a minute. Takes about an hour to get through the process, and at the end of it, you have to dive in and really just try to live it again. And just remembering it to write it down, what happened in the first place, is it gets the emotion going. But to close it all out, you have to open that emotion up, reread your old core belief, read the new one, and then that new one is what gets imprinted.
I want you to walk us through this rewriting process, but I want to say first that you and I must be cut from the same cloth because whenever some kind of like high emotion comes up, I'm like, I get super excited too. So I was like sobbing last the other weekend, and someone saw me sobbing and they're like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And then I look up and I'm like, "No, this is amazing. Just let me be. Like, this is so perfect. Something huge is being purged from my body." And I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I just look like black mascara running down my face. And I remember the person like slowly tiptoeing out backwards, being like, "Okay," and then like left me to my demise. But it's like, it's exciting because when that stuff comes out of the body, then like your body can start to heal naturally. And then, like you said, it's just you start to feel better. And what I know for me is the more I work on it, the more peace I feel. So that in itself is worth the sobbing. But walk us through what it actually means to rewrite that belief, and how does someone begin?
So, reach out to me and I could help you. I've kind of become a professional at this. But to begin, it's very simple. You have to basically go back and relive it, right? You have to go back and identify what got written originally. What is the old subconscious belief that you created at whatever time frame it is? So you go back, you figure out how old you were, and your subconscious mind will do the rest. You just imagine that you're back at that moment, and then you just basically identify all of the negative things that you felt, you know, and it typically narrows down to four: unlovable, stupid, ugly, or unworthy, right? Everything channels back down into those four buckets. And then you basically say, you know what, this old core belief that was created, it no longer serves me anymore. And then you begin to write the new one, right? And you simply say, well, these are all the things that were negative. I'm just going to do the opposite, and I'm going to add some cool shit to it, because why not? I'm writing it whatever I want. So I'm going to rewrite it and say that I am lovable, I am worthy, I am beautiful, I am smart. And I'm a bad mother, you know, effer. And, I've got the confidence of a lion, and I'm not scared of anything. I could literally put whatever I want in there to just create whatever I want. And then the subconscious mind is going to act on that. So I encourage people to have fun with it, and put a little extra juice in there just to have fun. So once you get that part done, then the most challenging part is now it's time to reframe the whole thing with compassion and forgiveness. So the two things need to happen now. You need to identify everybody involved, and one at a time, make a statement that says you forgive them. You know, you forgive, and a lot of times you don't even realize that you're involved, but you might want to forgive yourself, your parents, your caregivers, husband, boyfriend, whoever it is. You forgive everybody involved, and there's two statements that will forgive anybody for anything. One, I steal from Jesus. I forgive you because you know not what you've done. You know, when he was on the cross and he was getting crucified, that's what he said to him. That basically forgave him. I mean, it freed him from the pain they were causing him. He was trying to teach us something with that statement, because that's when you do that, it's literally liberating. If you could live by that statement, just I forgive you. You don't know what you're doing. And that's kind of what, that I didn't know what I was doing when I was telling my wife I wanted to leave her. It was subconscious. It was, I wasn't thinking I wanted to leave, but in that moment, this monster came out and it was like, holy shit. It was my job to go figure out how and why that was happening and correct it. But I truly didn't know what I was doing. And so if you can have that compassion for everyone involved in a situation, then it kind of frees you, it frees them. And then what I like to do, and this isn't mandatory, but I think it really helps, but reframe every situation as a learning opportunity. Because I truly believe that's what we're all here to do, is to learn. And if you don't learn from these situations, I have so many things about my childhood that surrounded dyslexia that were challenging and difficult, but none of them would have made me, without any of them, I wouldn't be the same person today. And so I cherish all of them now. And they showed me how to teach my son that's 11, that's going through the same thing, how to overcome it, not by learning how to read, but by transforming his mind and eliminating those things that would cause him pain. And I mean, what a gift. And so that's the next two phases. You forgive everyone and then reframe it in a positive statement that you're learning something, and then close it out with an affirmation statement. And then you close your eyes. You imagine you're back in that spot. Get worked up with the elevated emotion. And as soon as you feel any kind of emotion, you just open your eyes and read it all out loud. Once you get done reading it, you're done. And most people feel this amazing kind of lightness in the room. For me, it feels like somebody just opened all the windows in the house and the air is going through there. For me, it was really scary for the first time I started doing this with other people. Because I kind of created it and then started doing it with people that work that I worked with. I did it on myself, and then I did it on some good friends in here who were having a really rough time, and I started getting migraines doing the sessions with them, and it was weird, and I don't fully understand it, but I went to a shaman, and he basically just told me to do a grounding meditation, and it'll make it go away, the migraine. And 10 minutes later, the migraines are gone. And it's just purging the energy that's not mine. All that negative energy is getting moved on, and I was holding on to some of it. But yeah, it's extremely powerful. And I don't know, the older generation, if anybody's seen the movie The Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher, it's a
Yes.
great movie. And in that movie, every little thing, when he would go back in time, if he would just make one small change, it would have a butterfly effect on the whole world.
Yeah.
Everything would change. This would change that. So if you go back in time and you rewrite a core belief, right? Everything that's ever happened to you since that moment can be affected by that thing. And so for about a day to 4 days, depending on who you are, and how big the core belief was, you kind of go into a euphoric feeling where there's no real anxiety, no real anything for 3 or 4 days. And then it starts to taper down. For the first 5 hours, it really feels like a buzzing sensation and everything's calm. But the way I understand it is every moment since that moment is reprogramming the other ones, because they all had that moment had an impact on all those other moments. So the forgiveness and the love and the way that that memory is now remembered reframes all the other memories from that point to this point, and it kind of throws the system into like a euphoric shock for a minute. And then about a week later, it's gone, and most people are ready to do another core belief.
Yeah, it sounds like you're getting like a like the phone, how your phone gets an upgrade and it downloads all the It upgrades, and then it's like the body, right? You release
Yeah.
all that, and it really changes your the state of your nervous system in a sense. What about for skeptics out there who think this sounds too out there? So, how do you explain to them that it's actually neuroscience and emotional regulation?
So one thing I would just say is let's try it. You know, be a skeptic, it's great, but try it. I am living proof that this works. And
Me too.
I've done over, yeah, and there's more than one way. I actually teach two different ways to do it. You could do it in a meditative state. You don't have to do it in a writing exercise. I do believe the writing exercise is more powerful. But there's more than one way to do it. But science is now catching up to all of this. So a lot of the work that Joe Dispenza is doing with scientists is catching up. I'd say just say do the research, and I think you're gonna see really quickly that this is something different. The anxiety and depression that people are dealing with is not being cured. It's not going away. And I know for myself, I lived with levels of anxiety and depression that in my early 20s, I thought about, you know, closing the doors and going home. And then in my, as I achieved everything in life again in a later life, maybe not quite as intensely, but, you know, just losing hope and just feeling this misery that wouldn't quit. And it was all avoidable. I could have been happy and peaceful and not experienced any of that from a very early age, if I would have just learned all of these tools that are in my program. And the noise that is coming into our heads that's causing all this anxiety to start with, it's coming from something. The root core of that something are these core beliefs. And if you just think about it for a second, we could all do it. Every one of us could sit and go, all right, when did I get in an elevated state, emotional state when I was younger and possibly created a negative core belief? Every one of us could sit back and go, oh shit, well, this one and that one and this one, they're all there. And so take it one step further. Ask yourself, how was I left feeling in that moment? And go, all right, so maybe I was left feeling unlovable. You know, my parents did something and they didn't do it for my brother, and it left me feeling less than. Maybe I wasn't unworthy or unlovable, and then I get left there. Okay, so then stop there. Now that you have an awareness of how you were feeling in that moment, now think about the thoughts, the random thoughts that you have on a daily basis, and see if they match up. And I will guarantee you that those thoughts are lining up, because that's where it's coming from. The first thing that you're thinking about when I'm asking that question is the first core belief that you need to go fix, because that's the one that's haunting you the most.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell us more about your program, Mike, and how someone can take advantage of all of your knowledge.
LearnToLoveBeingYou.com is how you find me. It's a 10-week course that starts with just taking manual control over anxiety, right? Just quieting the noise enough to where you can calm down. Within the first couple of weeks, you know, we have people that have been taking the highest levels of anxiety meds for years and are off of it within the first week. When they take the program serious and they do it the right way, they get off of it that quick, because the first couple of weeks, it's literally just taking control and not letting those old random core beliefs run your world. It brings you into the present moment. And right here in this moment, there is no problem. And so as you stack these on 1 week after another, after the first 3 weeks, you have a really good foundation of how to take control of yourself, and you start to reprogram it again in a different way, to where when a negative thought comes in your mind, it'll get caught. You can't stop the negative thought coming in because you haven't healed anything yet, but you could auto program it to go, oh no, not today. We're having a beautiful day. Oh no, I am beautiful. I don't want to hear any of that stuff about I'm not pretty enough. You could reframe that stuff and make it go right back to that on autopilot. And it doesn't take very long to put new programs in place that starts to catch those negative thoughts that are causing you pain. Once you become aware that they're causing you pain, well, doesn't the subconscious mind want to protect you? Once it's protecting you say, hey, those negative thoughts that are coming from the past, that's causing me pain. I need positive thoughts. And when you start to reframe them, it just starts to catch them on autopilot. It takes about a week and a half, and all of a sudden it just starts going on autopilot. But there's a process to get there. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but we walk you through every step of that. And then from there, once you get that manual control, then we start to go through a process of just a perception change about life. Just kind of look at things a little bit different. And then in week six through week nine, we heal. We dive in and we start doing the real work with attachments, forgiveness, and then core beliefs, and then authenticity at the end.
Thank you so much for this conversation. It's been so much fun talking about these beliefs, and it's life-changing, right? Like once you start pulling these things out, it can change your whole life.
It absolutely can. It clears out all the clutter in your head that was put in there by the younger self that just didn't understand what was going on in a troubled moment.
Yeah, in a sense, I feel like we all kind of were set up for failure, like as soon as we were born. And
Yeah.
this to me sounds like we're taking our power back. So thank you so much for this amazing conversation.
Yeah, thank you too. I appreciate you letting me get my voice out there, and I always appreciate the back and forth. You're very skilled at what you're doing.
Thank you so much. Do you have a teaser into chapter 10?
Authenticity. You can never truly be happy without finding your true self. And if you're lying to yourself or anyone else, all this stuff that we're doing is not going to work.
Oh, I love it. Integrity. So listeners, hear that? Come back for chapter 10. You're not going to miss this one. Want to miss this one. Thanks again, Mike, and to our audience, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. Rewrite that story, you guys. It's easy. We will make sure Mike's links are in the show notes for you so you can check out Learn to Love Being You. Until next time, take care, everyone.
Get closer to the magic this summer and step aboard our 3 or 4 night Disney Cruise Line sailings from Southampton. Dance with some of your favorite characters. Be enchanted by West End style shows. Become immersed in imaginative dining experiences and more. Create magical family memories that will last a lifetime. Book now at disneycruise.co.uk. Subject to availability and conditions, see more on disneycruise.co.uk.